it's been a couple of weeks. Took a little 2-week hiatus. We had some things come up, such as mini camp.
That happened.
Some other things came up. But and then we sent Bosak home to go celebrate the Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. So. But we're back, better than ever. I feel refreshed. I'm ready to do a Falcon because I missed you guys.
Before we begin, I would really like like to thank you guys because there's something new that's happened on this Falconcast show that's never happened. I have been put on the board, which is quite amazing right now.
Name is up there. Name lights.
I mean, I'm officially arrived. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was you guys or my man Bosak, but hey,
the budget dollars.
I appreciate
come
that.
In
the budget. That. The budget came
yeah.
in.
Yep.
That is nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
that is nice.
I appreciate that, guys.
I think it's official. It's official. You're
official. Officially happened?
Wow. Officially official.
I can't screw it up this week, I guess.
No. No. High expectations for you.
Speaking of high expectations.
Oh, nice.
You like that segue there? Let's talk minicamp a little bit. And, Jay, you know, you better than anyone. You were out there getting the tweets, the snaps, mm-hmm. the kids call them, the grams
yeah.
out there.
You'd be in the mix, man. You'd be like 3-4 feet away from the guys. I mean, you might as well be in the huddle.
I wish.
We're trying, Chuck.
We're trying.
But you know, it was an eventful minicamp, and man, we asked the kids to come out. I don't think we asked 3,000 kids to come out. How about that? That was a record
day, awesome.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
So thanks to all
huge.
The fans, all the kids that came out. I know Dan Quinn and the team appreciated that. But, you know, kind of give us a sense of what you saw out there, Jay, and then Chuck, what you kind of felt after that is too.
Yeah, well, I think the big difference that fans noticed was just how different practices are. I mean, it's so much more high energy. It's everything that we've been talking about, and fans got their first chance to see that big change under Dan Quinn, and I think it was accepted really, really well. Seen a lot of tweets, a lot of Facebook posts about how much they enjoyed minicamp practices. I think all that's going to do is just build more and more anticipation for training camp. You know, there's 15 dates that are open during training camp. Practices are in the morning, which I know everybody at this in this room is going to enjoy.
Man, that's so awesome, man. I can't believe that. When I saw the schedule, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, we used to go in the middle of the heat every day.
3:30 afternoon practices are a thing of the past, which
I'll tell
is
you
nice.
This. And, yeah. You know, if you want to talk about getting the building positive, you know.
He's doing it, right?
The positive energy is going to be flowing from our group over to the Dan Quinn's side of the building.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that we can get our work done during the work day and, you know, and that's the thing. It's so high. You come in, you're just a sweat ball working. You know,
and from a player's perspective, I mean, it's
that's what I was just
going to
say.
Just got to be brutal. Like, there's
you gotta
something
feel the
to
same
be
way
sad.
We do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the build up all day long, and you have so many meetings. You got to walk through. So we have to go out and get it done in the morning, and then come back in the afternoon. And all you got is meetings, or you got a small walkthrough or something like that later on. It makes you want to give more, especially to every practice. And you talked about from what you saw at practice. I had to talk about positive stuff, too. I actually talked to a bunch of the guys, you know, after the mini camp, and they were pretty excited about how it went. They were pretty excited about the flow of practice. They liked the way Coach Quinn always, you know, wants guys to compete. Yesterday, me and Vic were at a football camp, and we were talking about practice, and he was just saying how he loved the high energy of it. He loves how, you know, they get him on and off. He really loves the system. He really loves being here. And a lot of guys I've talked to, even Roddy, a guy who's, you know, he didn't practice a couple of days during minicamp, but he's saying it makes his body feel better because they're going to give him days off in camp. He's going to have chances to rest his body. He's going to have a chance to understand the system. He's been here long enough. So a lot of different perspectives from the players about how they like what's going on so far. And not just camp, but also how Coach Quinn is running this whole organization right now.
But even with the guys who do practice every single day and don't take the so-called old man days like Roddy will be taking during camp, the fact that they're on the field for a shorter amount of time than in the past, I mean, if you look at the training camp schedule, it starts at 10 and they're off the field at noon.
Right.
And, you know, there used to be times last year and the year before where they're on the field 2.5, sometimes 3 hours, all the way up to that CBA limit. And I think that you just get kind of worn down that, especially in the heat. You're practicing in the middle of the day. All those things, I think, come into play, and I think they wear you down before you even get into the season.
It wears on you because you wake up early in the morning, you got long meetings, And then you go out, you may have a walkthrough before that practice, and then you have a big, long 2.5 hour practice. You go back in and have another meeting, another hour and a half, 2 hour meeting that you're installing more stuff, and then you go out and do a little walkthrough. The next day you do it over and over, like you said, it wears you down. Guy, not even, you think about it physically, but it wears you down mentally as well, because there's so much that you have to, I remember quarterback, there was so much stuff that we had to account for on a daily basis that mentally, you were just drained.
Your head was swimming by the time you got home.
Yeah.
And it's this, you kind of got a little time to work.
And then
down.
You got to, and then for, I mean, my first 3 years, we had different, you know, different head coaches the first 3 years. Yeah. So after doing all that throughout the day, and then when I went back to my room, I had to study even more because I had to be up to date on what I did that day. And also we had, okay, this is what's coming up tomorrow. So when you walked in the meeting, it wasn't just brand new. So by the time I went to sleep, my freaking head was hurting because I was so, so drained from trying to learn what's going on.
Hey, I know you're new on the program, but let's watch the language here.
Freaking. Freaking.
And also, when you mean Vic, that's Vic Beasley. I don't want people to start thinking.
Vic Beasley Jr.
Oh,
Vic
okay. Beasley Jr., right?
The voice of God says. Brian Bosak over there, Vic Beasley Jr.
So when I said Vic Beasley and camp, that means Michael Vic. No.
Man, look at our mentions.
I don't know how people would.
Look at our Twitter mentions.
I've already got like 30 tweets, Sean. Hey, so let's talk a few storylines. I think you talk about positive energy. A big positive was Julio Jones being here and saying the right things. Would you agree that was kind of your number one there?
Absolutely, and I think that, you know, when we've become conditioned to this idea of the diva wide receiver and you know, with T.O. and Chad Johnson and all those kinds of guys, and they just created this persona around the wide receiver. We've always been used to, I think, cornerbacks having that sense of swagger, but now we've really seen wide receivers kind of adopt that. And, you know, business is business, and I understand that, and I think a lot of fans understand that as well. You know, a lot of these guys have a real finite time to make their money and, you know, to go the holdout route and miss practices and all those different kinds of things. I mean, we've kind of expected that. Yeah. For Julio to come out and say, yeah, I know it's a contract year for me. Yeah, we're working on it. No, I'm not going to hold out because that is a selfish thing to do for my teammates. It's such a refreshing take on how you go about getting a contract done. And I mean, can you imagine me saying to my boss, hey, I'm not going to show up for work until we get a new deal done? Like, that wouldn't
fly. It's like me holding out from Falcon Cast because you guys don't put my name on the board. I mean, right. That's just ridiculous, right? But you make great sense when you talk about what Julio said about, hey, I'm doing it because I will hurt my team and all that kind of stuff. And you look at the whole other side of it is the guy in Dallas, Dez Bryant, who is talking about, hey, I may not come for I don't know how long because he wants a contract extension. I think the big thing that was said was they said, hey, we're going to get Julio done. Mm-hmm. And I think he understands that it's going to happen. And he understands he needs to be in his offense, though, so that when it does happen, he can be the best he can be and succeed at being the best receiver he can.
And I think it's just good business to be that guy who says, you know what, I'm going to give you reasons to invest in me.
Right.
You know, I'm going to show up to practice. I'm going to give my all. I'm not going to miss anything. And I think that ultimately makes both sides feel a little bit more comfortable and confident in any contract.
It makes them want to do it. It makes you say, all right, this guy is really about the team.
Because you're getting it done for the right reasons as opposed to, you know, getting it done just to get this guy in camp because he's missing time.
Right.
It hurts everybody, and I think it ultimately does bring the entire team down, especially when you're talking about players of that caliber.
Storyline number two, I believe, would be Sam Baker being released. Mm. There's some questions on the offensive line, but, Jay, you were out there more than I was. The big talk was how great Ryan Schrader looked as he kind of fills in as your potential starting right tackle going into training camp.
Yeah, I mean, the right tackle situation has changed quite a bit since the last time we were on set here. I mean, Sam Baker, as you mentioned, was released right before the start of minicamp, and then during minicamp, Lamar Holmes goes down with a foot injury, and he's going to miss training camp at least, it looks like. So things look very different up there. I think, you know, Ryan Schrader really benefited from that half year last year of starting, and this is a confident confident guy. He's a young guy who was an undrafted free agent. There weren't high expectations for him, but he came and he took the teaching that the coaches gave him and really started to progress. He's got that body size that you like. He's tall. He's thick in the right spots, and I think he's got – what I love about him is he's got that nasty attitude that you want in your offensive lineman. And I really think that with some more coaching, with some more experience on the field, he could really be a star at right tackle if he wins a spot.
Chuck, I was going to ask you, you know, to me, Ryan Schrader's a guy, like Jay said, has the nastiness, but also has the kind of the swagger. Mm-hmm. He walks with the swagger. Walks like he wants to be the starting right tackle at this place. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, by him doing that and the confidence he gained in this minicamp can only take him as far as he wants to go.
And we a lot of time talk about the skill guys have to have that confidence. Skill guys have to have that swagger about them and say, hey, I'm the best on the field. I can cover. I can beat anybody. It's the same thing goes for the big guys up front because it's even more one-on-one with the big guys up front. They got to make sure that guy in front of them doesn't beat them. They beat them, guess what? You're going to knock down your $100 million quarterback, and you're really going to be magnified. So to have a guy like Schrader who, like you said, has that confidence, has that swag about him, and the first thing when I think about Schrader is what you said, the nastiness, the little edge about him. He has that about him that makes you feel like, okay, I want this guy on the field with me. And that's the type of player that I would want as a quarterback on the field with me, who I know at any given time he's going to give everything he has. But also, if he needs to get down and dirty, he can.
So you remind you of a couple guys like Dahl and Claybo?
Exactly what I was thinking about. Harvey Dahl and Claybo, both those guys had that confidence. Even Claybo was a late-round guy, even an undrafted guy maybe. But when he got on the field, he knew he was going to knock you down.
And he knew how to get the edge.
Yeah,
and here's the other thing I love about a guy like Ryan Schrader is he doesn't have the football pedigree that you would expect of somebody in the NFL. You know, he went into his junior year of high school at 5'7". He came out of his senior year at 6'7".
What happened to me?
I missed the boat on that.
He was 5'7"?
5'7 his junior year of high school. Senior year of high school, he left school at 6'7".
I went into my junior year at 5'3" and came out 5'7".
That's not cool. Exactly. I think I actually went into my junior year like 5'9", and now I'm like 5'8". So, the other thing about him is he didn't go right into college and start playing football. He spent a year delivering steaks to restaurants as a meat packer, and he just has such an interesting background that I think it keeps him humble. It keeps him working hard because he's really had to work for everything that he's gotten. So I love the backstory on this kid, and I think if you have any doubts about his abilities, go back and look at the last seven games last year. I think maybe he had one game where things didn't really go his way, but the rest of the time he was a stud on that right side, and I think that could carry over this year.
I could definitely relate to a guy who comes from that kind of background, who's hungry, and who's finally getting their chance. Mm-hmm. I remember when I got drafted in the seventh round, pretty much like being a free agent, it's an uphill battle for you coming in. You're the fourth or fifth guy, and you know, you're getting 2-3 reps of practice, and you got to make those 2-3 reps count, and you finally get your chance. And I remember finally getting my chance that second year and end up tearing ACL, but it was a time where I felt like, okay, now I really feel like I can belong here. I can play. Then my third year coming back, draft Matt, but I'm still like, it's an uphill battle, but I'm like, I've been here. I know what it feels like to have some success, but now I'm still hungry, and I think Schrader's in that same position where he's like, okay, here's my opportunity. After everything that I've come through, here's my opportunity to show what I can do in the National Football League, and I got a chance, and here it is standing in front of me. What am I going to do?
Yeah, and another guy who just lost that chance, I think, you know, Lamar Holmes, you got a feel for this guy.
Man.
I mean, he came in with the new coaching staff, and the new coaching staff looked down and said, you got to drop some weight.
Yeah.
And he went out and he did that this offseason. Mm-hmm. He came into minicamp in fantastic shape and just ended up, you know, again, sometimes the stuff happens in football, and you know, you feel for him, but you know, hopefully he'll be back and ready to rock.
Last one here, real quick, before we got to get to break with Bosak, the best part of Falcon Case, right? is the couple new guys on the defensive line and new look defensive line. That'd be Adrian Claiborne and O'Brien Schofield. Talk about how they looked and how they kind of are fitting in on that D line. We've talked in previous Falcon Case. It's a crowded D line.
Yeah.
It is a crowded D line, and it's so new look that. I think if you come out to any of the practices, I think that's one of the things that really jumps off the page to you. I kind of take issue with some national sites out there saying that the Falcons don't have a real good roster, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, because you look at, okay, Adrian Claiborne is a guy whose previous years in the league have been marred by injuries, but every time he's been on that field, he's been effective, effective pass rusher. He's coming in here with a coach that can really work with him, that believes in his abilities and can put him in the best places to succeed, and he's really super hungry. Another humble guy, another guy who's really kind of worked for everything that he's gotten. But I think he is a guy with so much potential. He's not reached it yet in the league because he hasn't had a chance to. I mean, you know, he was out all year last year. So he's got a ton to prove. He wants the chance to prove it. If he can stay healthy, I think that's obviously the big issue with him. O'Brien Schofield is a guy who is, you know, if he's put into a defense where, like, he would be the feature guy, I don't know how good he would be, but with the pieces around him, I think he can be a huge standout player for this defense, and he does bring a lot of confidence, a lot of leadership to that defensive line. I think both of those guys were fantastic additions this offseason. I'm expecting a lot out of both of them, but we'll see how things go here.
I think a lot of the guys are not sure what you look at as premier number one pass rushers that when you look up, you got to scout and you say, all right, we got to make sure we stop this guy. But I like the way it's set up now where you have four, five, six guys who could you can plug in there. And if you got five, six guys getting three, four sacks, that's better than one guy getting 10. Mm-hmm. And I think all these guys have those capabilities where they can get after the quarterback. All these guys are looking to kind of revive themselves. Like you talk about Claiborne being a guy who's been hurt a little bit and had high expectations. Now he's got a chance to show that. He's in a position where he's in a defense that's been shown, hey, we can get after the quarterback, we can make plays, and you got a coach whose primary position is your position, so he knows how to get those guys in good position. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Claiborne and also Schofield is going to do once they get into the system and play around a lot of different guys, like the Croy Beamers who's come back, who say he's looking really good in camp. Beasley Jr., should I say. Don't say Michael Vick, sorry. You know, somebody get... But he said, you know, he was praising Croy yesterday. I'm talking to him about, you know, all the things he's learned from him so far and everything that he's bringing to the table. So it's one of those things where they got a lot of different group of guys in that room that can help each other. And at the end of the day, if all those guys come together and play their role, this defensive front can be very productive.
And I'll toss it to you because I know that this is a topic near and dear to your heart is the look of Rashid Hageman right now.
Yeah, he's one of those guys I think is really going to mature. And when you see talking about guys coming in shape, this guy I am very
looking the
excited.
Part. Built.
He's my pick to click is your
built
you know, guy.
That, what was that? What was that phrase right there?
Pick to click.
Pick
this
year.
To click.
Okay. I mean, I'm telling you right now.
Pick
just,
to click.
Just wait till yeah, I mean,
trending.
People are going to love number 77.
Just wait till the season. We get into chipping a chair and all these
hashtag chipping
things
a
that
chair.
He brings up.
Hashtag
chipping a chair.
Pick a click.
Yeah. What else do we got, Bosak?
All right, Bosak. Break with Bosak. Right. Welcome your 2015 Stanley Cup champion, Brian Bosak. Congrats.
Oh, so you're going to take a bow somewhere?
Yeah,
there we go. Nice.
Did you drink some green beer at the parade out of the Stanley Cup or anything?
I wish.
I bet you do.
I
do
not.
What you got for us?
All right, Falcons related, which rookies have the highest probability of starting?
That's a good question.
It's for me. Obviously, a lot of people going to say, Vic, he's over. He's number eight pick. He's going to be in there. Obviously, that's one of the guys. But I look at Jalen Collins, obviously, because of his size. I look at his – he has that swagger already as a rookie. I mean, you see him out of practice. You see him on some of the pictures you've taken. You know, I mean, you look at him, he just has that moxie about him. You feel like he's one of those guys who by, you know, third, fourth game of the season, he's going to be like, I got this. I can understand what's going on out here. And because of his size, they're going to need him, even if, you know, they bump a few guys down. And I know Trufant's on the other side. It's going to be a good battle. I like Jalen Collins to possibly get that other corner spot eventually.
Hey, Shaq, he's my guy as well because just watching his – you talk about swagger. We went to the family barbecue by Verizon. This guy stole the show. He, like, took over the barbecue. Like, as the leader. He was on the megaphone telling everyone what to do and stuff. It was fun to see, and I think he's a guy that brings a lot of excitement.
Not afraid of the spotlight.
He is the kind of guy I could really see, like, 3-4 years from now, the entire country talking about as, like, a Richard Sherman kind of guy. You know, he's got that personality. He's got that swagger. Mm-hmm. If his on-field abilities can back
match
up,
the off the
match
field.
The match the off the field stuff, this kid's going to be a star. He's going to transcend sports, I think. And I know that's a lofty thing to say
that's
about,
big
about
right
a,
there.
A rookie, but
I think he could be a superstar.
I think he's got a really likable
personality
that you like to see in a cornerback. For me, I'm going to go with nobody on this list. I'm going to go with Grady Jarrett. I think that he's got a chance to start. I don't know how the defensive line is going to look, if it's going to be the rotation thing. I get the sense it's going to be much more of a rotation situation, but I really think that the team is high on this kid. He's had a fantastic offseason. They got to find ways to get him on the field, I think, at this point. And I think he could line up next to Jonathan Babineau tomorrow, and it would be a heck of a defensive line. So.
I like it. I'm really excited about this rookie class.
Hey, excuse me. You need to watch your language, sir.
Heck, yeah.
Yes,
heck.
Watch your language. Heck, I don't know if this is your first time being here, but you need to watch your language, sir.
My name's been up on that thing.
Excuse me. I'm going to sit back.
Bosak, what else?
All right. Stanley Cup final. I wish I was at the game in game 6 because I heard it was rocking. But I want to know, what if you guys could have personally witnessed any event in sports history, what would you have wanted to see in real life?
I just thought of this 30 seconds ago. I think it's a great answer. How about that 1980 hockey game, USA versus Russia? Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah.
Could you imagine being there? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would
be. Is that
be.
The one they made the movie after?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. Well, that was pretty cool.
That would be really cool.
What you got, Jay?
Gosh, I don't even know. Because there's just
more so big plate, Jay. You want me to come back to you?
Just come back.
Yeah,
go
ahead.
Okay.
I saw this script like literally right before we came out here. So. All
right, Bosak, that's on you. But he's blaming you, Bosak.
No,
so
it's
I'm
not.
Just telling you. Break with Bosak. He's telling you. All right, for me, I would have loved to been around to be able to go and watch Mike Tyson fight. Those, I don't care if they were, 10 seconds. I would just love to be in that environment, in that area. Just watching it, watching it on TV. I don't think it does it justice to be there. I would love to see
dominant.
Tyson in his heyday.
Dominant.
Chuck, black shorts.
Is a fellow DGD, how about what if you could go back and watch Herschel Walker in high school?
No doubt.
I heard
no
that
doubt.
Was like the coolest thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like he just killed people.
I would like to watch Herschel in Georgia, period.
In that same vein, I'll say when Michael Jordan won the championship after going to baseball for a little bit.
Mm.
That's good. That's a good question. Both, like, so
that's
you're going to say Stanley
right
Cup?
Yeah.
Well, that's what made me think
of
the question.
I'm
sure there'd be other events I would like to see, but that's what made me think of the question.
That's a good question. I like.
Wait,
that.
What did you say, Bosa?
It was probably Game 6 of the Stanley Cup being there live. Sorry, it was the
Bosa was in Chicago, years. But he wasn't in the United States.
Correct. I don't have $1,000 for standing room seats only.
You should ask Shaq. He
talk to your boss a little bit. Yeah, right.
Shaq would have broken you off some, right? All right, video of the week. And I'm excited. I don't think I've seen this one yet.
Yeah, it's just a nice, short, quick one. But here we go.
Okay.
Guys going in the pool.
That's a makeshift diving.
What is that? Those are tables.
Tables.
Oh no! I knew it when he had tables there. It wasn't going to be good.
Yeah.
Blow.
Ooh, I got so much
not having $10,000.
Why are we in a wetsuit in the backyard?
What's that?
So he jumped as if like that thing was going to spring.
And he's also got like the sharper image raft that he probably paid $300 for.
Yeah,
you can't get a diving board? Come on.
Oh, man. And his legs just get caught inside the table.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, but if you've got an in-ground pool in the backyard, you can't be that desperate.
This reminds me, I was on Father's Day, I was down at my neighborhood pool, and a couple of the people got, had a little too much of Grandpa's cough medicine, and then decided to do a belly flop contest.
Ooh,
it was fantastic.
A contest?
Oh, I think it's on YouTube. I'll have to, maybe
you didn't join it? You didn't join it?
I didn't.
You should have.
Well, at least I'm not on video.
All right.
Nice.
It's good to good to be back with you guys. Good Falcon cast, and we'll maybe next week we'll take as we move into the dog days of summer, they call it.
It's hot out there, baby.
Get some suggestions from the folks on social media and see what kind of Falcon cast they'd like to see. Maybe some questions.
Sure.
And stuff. So
I like
that'll
that.
Be good.
Talk to us.
For DJ, for Jay. I'm Matt Moore. I've been on the board the whole time. DJ, you have it, and we'll talk.
Oh!
Wow!
What
was that?